Romans chapter 10 today. Romans chapter 10. Let's begin to read in verse 1. Be the only verse we read. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to help this message. I pray you'd help us preach for just a little while. And Lord, I pray that folk would be very attentive in that to the Word of God. Lord, I know I've studied this and Lord, looked at your Word. But if you don't come by and touch it this morning, it's just going to fall flat. But Lord, if you'll touch us and anoint us afresh, it'll go out. And Lord, just touch your Word today. And I know it'll go out and do what it's supposed to do. And I pray that you'd help one that might be lost, that's unsaved. I pray they'd come and get saved today. But Lord, help the one that just has a need. I pray that you'd encourage those hearts. And Lord, we'll take in it. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done. Save that sinner's nearest tale. And we'll give you all the glory for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You'll be seated this morning. Romans chapter 10, and especially as you read in the middle to the latter part of this chapter, we find out about salvation, what it takes to be saved and what it takes to get saved. He tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you go to verse 13, and he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as the apostle, if you've never done that, you can do that today, believing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and ask him to save you, and he'll do it. Amen. On the authority of God's word. That's one way that I know that I got saved, because this book is right. This book is true. And if it said so, that's the end of it. Amen. And you mean you ought to be able to bank on the Word of God. Somebody the other day was telling me, I was listening to a preacher preach actually, and he had had one of his church members stand up, and he read a passage of Scripture in the Bible, and he said, and he took that man's Bible, and he held it up, and he said, right here, he said, you can mark this out. He took a marker and marked it out of the Bible. I'm going to tell you, if you can mark anything out of this book, then you might as well shut your Bible and go home. And what was it Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? He said, we'll eat and we'll drink and we'll be merry, for tomorrow we die. If we can't believe every blessed word out of this book right here. Amen. I may not understand all of it, but thanks be to God, I believe it all. Amen. And I know that it's right. Some of y'all may have a little problem with that, but your preacher believes this book that's in front of him. Amen. And I hope that God will let me stay in my right mind and let me believe it all my life. Amen. I've got Romans 10, as the Apostle Paul said, brethren, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And boy, the Apostle Paul wanted Israel, his brethren. I mean, he was an Israelite, and we know that of the tribe of Benjamin, and we realize that. And man, he wanted Israel to get saved. He wanted them to see, and that the very fact that Jesus came and died for their sin, he wanted them to realize that and grasp that and understand that not only was he the Son of God and lived in perfection, but that he gave himself so that they might get saved. In Romans chapter 9, we back up just a chapter in verse 3. And he said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless, forever. Amen. Paul said, I just wish I could be a curse from them. If they would just grasp and get, he said, I wish they would get that thing. Ain't that what he said? He said, for I could wish that myself were a curse from them. You know that wish holds the same thing as that word desire. Did you know, if you go back to Romans chapter 10, what did he say? My heart, my brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that he get saved. You know that ought to be our desire today? Is that Israel would get saved. Do you know there's coming a day that Israel, all Israel, shall be saved? According to Romans chapter 11, there's a lot of people got a problem with Israel and that, trying to determine who is an Israelite and all those things. And I'll be honest with you, church, I don't know. I don't understand all that. But I do know one thing, that God said in Romans chapter 11 that there was coming a day that He would save all Israel. And so I believe that there's coming a day that He's going to do that. Amen. And that through the tribulation period. And we understand all that. And let me say this, that as the Apostle Paul's heart's desire was, ours ought to be for lost people to see them get saved. Listen, how much is our desire and that to see lost people get saved? But I want to deal with what the Apostle Paul said right here, brethren, my heart's desire. And I want to preach on our heart's desire. What is a desire? A desire is a wish for the possession of something. It is a prayer or a request to obtain. You know, a lot of times when we look in the Bible, we think of desire. We hear that it's tied to the flesh. So much the desires of the flesh. It becomes kind of a bad word, if I'd put it that way. But and listen, the very first mention of the word desire in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 3. When it said that, the Bible said this, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it's pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And we know what happened right there. She partook of that fruit because she desired it. She desired to be like God. The devil had lied to her. In the very fact, he said he doesn't know that in the days that thou eatest thereof, that your eyes will be opened, which they were, and that thou shalt be like God. And so she had that desire, that inordinate desire, and that to the lust of the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 was talking about Israel and said that with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the end, intent that we should not lust after evil things as also they lusted, or as they also lusted. And their desire in that was of the physical. Their desire of that, if you read the Old Testament, you'll find was to do. They were in fornication, they were in idolatry, and they desired to do those things. But friend, I think today that our desire should not be to fulfill the lust of the flesh. What was it that little John told us? In 1 John chapter 2, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so we're not to lust in that of the flesh. We're not to lust in that after the world, but to have a desire and that to serve God. Can I ask you this morning, what is your heart's desire? Can I tell you that your heart is a very important thing? We looked at that Wednesday night. We looked at our heart Wednesday night. What was it? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, what does your heart desire? There's a lot of folks sitting on the church bench this morning, and I hope that they're saved, but their heart's desire is not to follow God. Their heart's desire is not to do the things of God, but it might be to have riches. It might be to have a fine home. It might be to have fine clothes and fine art. And all those things are not wrong. You didn't hear, I'm going to play a Brother Ralph card right here. You didn't hear me say that those things were wrong. But when your heart's desire is those things, that's where it gets wrong at. I think God gives people riches because they can handle them and know that they'll do right with them. It don't bother some people. You know, you can give some people money and it don't bother them. They'll spend it for the right thing and do the right thing with it. And God will bless them. With some people, you give it to them and it'll take them away from God. Because they're more concerned about what they can have. Some people, their desire is to have a good paying job or a job that can supply all their needs. And I want a job that can supply my needs. But I'm going to tell you, there's one in heaven today that ought to have my desire and not this world. Your desire should be to have a life that pleases God. I'm going to get there in a minute. But you know, it would be right for you to have a desire to have a good family. It would be good for me and you to desire and that to have a good name, or for our church to be a good church, a Bible-believing church, one that loves God, and not one where people just come in to put on a show. Friend, I would rather we come in. I didn't say nothing hardly. I didn't keep a word. If you could just come in and get something and still worship God, as to put on a show and it not be real. Amen. I drafted Brother Ralph a letter. He wanted some stuff from us. He wanted some of our choir songs and so on and so forth. And at the end of that letter, one of the things I wrote him in that letter was, "Brother, I appreciate your friendship and I appreciate you being real." I like being around real people. I mean, I just like real people. I don't like fake people. I'm going to preach a message on that here pretty soon if the Lord will allow us. And I've just been working on that a little bit in my mind. But listen, our desire ought to be to please God. Do we have a desire and that to please Him? Just quickly, two things this morning. One, can I say this, that God has a desire toward us. Did you know that this morning, that God desires to see some things in your life today? Take your Bible and go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 today. A lot of people, they quote this scripture and they take it out of context to do it. But it's still in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 29. And he's talking about the restoration of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 29. I'll look in verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10. The Bible said this: "For thus saith the Lord." Now, Lord, you're going to have to help us here now. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." Now, we understand that. We studied the book of Jeremiah. We know that they're carried off down to the land of Babylon because of their sin. They would not get right with God. He begged and pleaded with them to get right, and they would not do it. Verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." God is telling them a time when He's going to restore unto them the land of Israel, and He's going to begin to bless them and that again. But notice what He said in verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, that they're thoughts of peace and not of evil." Can I tell you that God, the very God in heaven, thinks on you today. He has thoughts about you and has desires for your life. There's not a mom and dad sitting in here today that's not had a desire and that for their children. Amen. Not had desire. I remember, listen, Brother Ted, years ago at a preacher's fellowship, and they were raising their two grandsons, him and Sister Pat were, and they were sitting up on the front row with him, and I don't remember what all had transpired, but I remember as he was testifying, and he said this, he said, "I don't care what my grandsons do, as long as they're serving God." That's what he said. Don't care if they drive the trash truck. I don't care what they're doing. As long as while they're doing it, they're serving God. I thought that's a good desire for a papa who was raising his grandchildren. To have a desire for his children and grandchildren to serve God. I thought that's pretty good. Can I tell you today that God has a desire for your life? He really does. Are you with me today? Amen. Help me out now. He has a desire for your life. Can I tell you, it was, if you're saved today, it was that you would get saved. And if you're lost, it's still that desire. His desire is for lost people to get saved. You ever heard somebody say, "Well, if it's God's will, then it'll happen." You know, it's always God's will for somebody to get saved. Amen. How do you know? The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. But His own suffering does. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some people get messed up in the head. I mean, they really do in their Bible. And they say, "Well, if it's God's will, it'll come to pass." That ain't true. That's not true at all. Because if it was, everybody would get saved. I mean, I can read. I understand. And by the way, you can tell God no, and no, and you do not have to do His will. Right. Do you know that? You don't have to do His will. Now, you may wish that you had done His will. By the time He gets done, you may wish that you had, but I'm going to tell you this right now, you don't have to. He may beat the fire out of you in the process, and He may kill you before it's all said and done, but you do not have to do His will. But it's a whole lot simpler for the children of God to do the will of God. He has a desire. Psalms chapter 40, the psalmist said this, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward." He has thoughts toward us. He thinks on us. He thinks about, what He could do for us and how we should live for Him. He thinks, think about that, that there's a God in heaven today looking down on Athens, Tennessee, over here in the Piney Grove community, looking down in His church, and He cares for you. And He has a desire for your life. He has a desire for your home and a desire for this church. Has a desire for your children and your spouse. He has a desire for that. You know, the thing about this, let me just put it to you like this. That's like saying it like this, that God has a will for your life. I'm not a Calvinist. I really ain't. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist by no means. But I do know this today, that God wants to desire how to see you serve Him to the best of your ability and do what you need to do for Him. I believe today that if we look, we can read this Bible and find out God's desire for us. I believe we can figure that out. I really do. I mean, the book of James, I preached on this not too long ago, where he talked about if you would draw nigh to Him, He would draw nigh to you. I believe He wants you to live close to Him. I believe He wants me to live close to Him. You know, John would crawl up in the bosom of God, wouldn't he? And lay his head on the bosom of Jesus that he could hear the very heartbeat and that of Jesus. That's how close John lived Him. How close are we living? Brother Ralph talked about that in that message that he preached on the inner circle. You remember that? We started at 500 and went to 12, then went to 3 and went to 1. And a lot of people are just living in that 500, but they do not want to live close in that to God. You know, if you live close to God, it'll come out in your life. It just won't come out. You know what I think a lot of times, if you can take it and throw it out, but I believe it to be the truth. It takes more than just living for Christ on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. What are you doing the rest of the week? What am I doing the rest of the week? You know, Christ desires and that for us to live for Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He desires that today. That's His desire. He desires us to be different from the world. Romans chapter 12 says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect, good and perfect and acceptable will of God." He wants us to be different from this world. There's a lot of people just not different than this world. There's a lot of religious people, though, ain't there? You know, He does not desire us to be religious either. He does not desire us to be religious. He desires us to be real. Now, I like religion. I do. I'll be honest with you, especially old-time religion. But there's just a lot of people, if you look, they're nothing no more than pharisaical a lot of times, and they're just not real. I can't get away from that this morning. Maybe I should have preached. No. I've got the message I need this morning. His desire is for me and you to live by His Word. Matthew chapter 4, when Satan was tempting the devil, or when Satan was tempting the Lord, excuse me, when the devil was tempting the Lord over there, what did he say? He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread." And he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He quoted the book of Deuteronomy. You know, He desires that me and you would read His book. He desires that we would not only read it, but then that we would live by it. That's what He desires. That's how we grow. What was it in the book of 1 Peter over there? He said, "As newborn babes, desire," that word is desire, "the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." God has a desire for your life. God just didn't save us and then just leave us down here. I think God has a desire to bless us. What do you mean, preacher? I really think He does. I think God enjoys blessing His children. Now, the Bible said in the book of Micah chapter 7 that He delights in mercy. He delights. Let me ask you something, moms and dads. Don't you delight in doing something good for your children? Don't you enjoy that? I mean, especially when they've been doing good and they've been doing right. And I mean, you don't want to reward children that's been doing wrong. That's just cruel and mean if you want to know the truth. I mean, to reward them for doing wrong and they don't know any different. I mean, sometimes they do, but I mean, if you delight in them when they're doing wrong, I mean, what's that say to them? But I'm telling you, God delights in us when we do right. When we follow His Word. And I believe that He enjoys blessing His children. He looks down from heaven and He says, man, she's been serving me and working and witnessing and reading and just trying to do what she or what he needs to do. Just trying to do what they need to do. And how does God bless? Well, God blesses in a lot of ways, don't He? A lot of people are always looking for it monetarily, but I think a lot of times it rarely comes monetarily, but sometimes it does. But, you know, sometimes that blessing is He gives us a peaceful home, and a right home. He gives us peace of mind and peace of heart. And sometimes He begins to make ways. He begins to open doors that me and you can't even fathom that He's going to open. But all these things is how can I put it? They're conditional. You know, His blessings are conditional on His children. If you go back and you look in the book of Deuteronomy, He told Israel, as long as they followed Him and done what He said, then He said, I'll bless thee with all these blessings over here. And He said, I'll make you the head, not the tail. And He got over in the middle of that chapter and He began to tell them what would happen if they ever forsook Him and began to serve other gods and I began to get away from Him. And He said, I'll bring all these curses upon you and then I'll make you the head, not the tail. In other words, I'll cut you off. I desire the blessings of God in my life. How about you? But I'm glad there's a God that looks down from heaven. And He has a desire for your life. A desire for you to follow Him. A desire and that to bless you. I do. I what is it? It's the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich. And He addeth no sorrow with it. Paul said, my heart's desire. Where's your heart's desire following that today? We know that God has a good desire toward us. He has no desire to harm you. He has no desire to have to beat on you. He has no desire to forsake you. And by the way, He won't forsake you. And I'm glad of that today. No matter what happens, He will not leave us nor forsake us. My great-grandparents were Methodist. I believe they were Methodist. Is that right, Methodist? I think they were. Maybe it's Presbyterian, I can't remember. No, it was Methodist. And my dad would tell me, he said, when you talk to them about salvation and them getting saved, they could tell you that you could walk away from God. And that He would let you walk away. Now, you might want to walk away from God, but He ain't going to let you walk away. And He ain't going to let me. I mean, nothing is ever going to change the very fact that I'm His child. It's just like these youngins running around here with their parents. There's nothing in this world will ever change the fact of who they belong to. Once I got birthed into the family of God, nothing can change that very fact that I'm His. I mean, it does not matter. And we've known children to just disown their parents and walk away and never come back. But it still never changes the fact of what happened. But our desire toward Him. He has a great desire toward us and that we would follow Him. You know, it's Christ that gives a happy life, ain't it? His desire toward us is that we would have a happy life and a peaceful life. Psalms chapter 73, though, David put it like this. He said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. He said, Lord, he said, my desire is to thee. I don't have anybody else. You're the only hope that I've got, the only desire, the only wish that I have. You're the only one that I desire and that to be around. You're the only one that I desire and that to please. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. If I ask you your heart's desire, where does it rest at today? What does it want? What is the desire of your heart? 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Look in verse 12. You find the time when King Asa... If you go back to verse 3, the Bible said, "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law." They had been without the things that they needed. They had not served God. They had not worshiped God. They had been without the law. They had been without a teaching priest. There was nobody there to tell them. There was nobody there to teach them. And they did not have the Word of God. But look in verse 12. They began to draw close and get right with the Lord. The Bible said in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 15, "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death." Boy, that's kind of stout, ain't it? "Whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. For they had sworn with all their heart, sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about." Notice how they sought the Lord. They sought him with what? With their heart and with their whole desire. Every being of them, every being of their desire is they wanted to be close to God. They wanted to know God. They wanted to learn of God. And they wanted to follow God. What about you? Was the last time you looked in your heart, wanted to follow God? I ain't talking about your way. I'm not talking about my way. I'm talking about God's way. I get so frustrated with me sometimes. You ever get frustrated with you? If you don't, you're sitting there lying. You should get frustrated with you sometimes. Because you're in the same place that I'm in. And mine will rire up on me sometimes. I have thoughts I shouldn't have. It's just my flesh. I just get aggravated sometimes with my flesh. Well, nobody shouted there. Well, how much do we desire to please God? Judah and Benjamin right here, we're in a split kingdom. Judah and Benjamin, they desired and that to be with God and please God. Their heart and their whole desire. You know, when something's got your whole desire, there's nothing else left. It's whole. And listen, all they wanted to do was be right with God and be where He wanted them to be at. Paul put it like this in the book of Colossians. He said, "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good thing and increasing in the knowledge of God." Paul said, "I just want my walk, I want your walk, and that to be pleasing to God. That's my desire. My desire. It's just whatever I do pleases Him. My speech to please Him. My thoughts to please Him. My actions to please Him. My way, the way I run my home, to please Him. The way I pastor this church, to please Him. Just everything. I want it to please Him. I want to follow Him." What He said in Ephesians 5, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Preach a message on that sometime, Brother Marvin, on how dear children follow. You know, they just follow their mom and dad. Dear children just follow their mom and dad. Follow their example, follow their words. Ain't that what we're supposed to do in Christ? Is just to follow Him. We have a desire to listen, and then we have a desire to heed. What was it? What was it that David said in Psalms 119? "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times." He said, "Look, my soul wants your words." It breaks over it. He said again in Psalms 119, 131, he said, "I've longed for your command. My desire is to hear from heaven." That's what I need to hear from. Where's our desire fall out at? Our wish. What our heart really wants to do. in this life. Where does it fall out at? Our desire to follow Him is to listen to Him. Our desire to follow Him is to read His Word. Our desire to follow Him is to just live like He lived. To be like Him. You know, ain't that what Peter talks about over there? That he's left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. And then really that was talking about suffering. That as we suffer, that as he suffered outside of the gate, so that we would too. But a desire. You know, Paul said, my heart's desire. What is our heart's desire? Brother, my heart's desire and prayer. Do we ask God, say, Lord, would you help me be more like you? Lord, let me have an understanding. You know, is that not what Solomon wanted when he prayed that night over there? And God asked him, what do you give him? And he said, I'm just like a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in. Just give me an understanding heart. Lord, just help me to be like you. Help me to be like you when it comes to seeing people and their needs. Help me to be like you to care for people. Help me to be like you to win people. I got to thinking about that as I was getting ready. I believe it was this morning as I was getting ready. You know, the Lord, He most of the time went to people, didn't He? Now, I know they followed Him around, but a lot of times they followed Him around so that they could either get fed or get healed or something like that. But you know, most of the time when He went somewhere, it was to help somebody. One of the greatest things you can ever do to help somebody is tell them what Christ has done for them. Actually, that's the greatest thing you can ever do for somebody. You know, what He said in the book of Jude, some had compassion, but others pulling out of the fire, hanging the garment that's spotted by the flesh. You know, He says, you have compassion on some. Some you lay it in there with them, and hopefully they'll get it. But just a desire to be like Him. To do His will. Psalms 40 said, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. You know, you get His words inside, it'll change what you want to do. It'll change how you want to act and react. It'll change, it'll just change that we want to do what we want to do into what He wants to do. What is your heart's desire? You know, Paul put it like this in Philippians chapter 3, and I quoted this not too long ago. He said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul said, that's my desire, is to know Him in the power of His resurrection, but to know Him how? In the fellowship of His sufferings. How many of us do that? How many of us have a desire? I mean, yes, we want to know Him in the power of His resurrection, but how many of us want to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering? There's just, as we read this book, and I couldn't cover it all today, but to just make it plain and simple, our desire should be for whatever God wants us to do. And say, Lord, whatever it is You want me to do, that's what I want to do. And would You point it out to me? In your book. He said, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God is. What is your heart's desire and prayer to God is? I just want to follow Him. I just want to be where He wants me to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing for Him. That's my heart's desire. What is yours? Let's bow our heads this morning.